This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Oru Kayak. They design folding kayaks that can go virtually anywhere, thanks to their lightweight and folding design. Stay tuned for later in the episode. We talk again to Brianna Media about experiencing Utah's Lake Powell in an entirely unique way. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
It's funny how, like, 5 years ago, I feel like I had more answers, you know, and I had very, like, if people came to me with an issue or a problem, I'd say, you know, this is what you need to do, and this is the way you need to think. And really, as I get older, I listen more, and I am silent a lot more when people come, because there's so much gray area, and there's so much fuzziness. I think the answers always just lie in continuing to reflect and ask yourself questions, and nobody has the answer. I don't know. I wish I had more sweeping insight to provide to folks in terms of, you know, life balance and other things, but it's just a work in progress.
This is Annie Nyborg. Don't let her fool you. She may not have the answers, but she is a wealth of good-natured and quiet wisdom, and she's just in her mid-30s. She's also the kind of person who makes you instantly at ease and made me comfortable enough to say this.
In my pajamas at 12:15 right now.
I haven't brushed my teeth. I haven't washed my face. I'm in my bathroom. It's a struggle to get out the door, but I'm making it happen.
In Annie's defense, it was 9 a.m. on the West Coast. I work from home, so PJs at noon is an all too often occurrence. But I'm getting off track. Annie isn't an entrepreneur or an extreme athlete or a through hiker. To be honest, I think she was surprised when I asked her for an interview. Annie works in San Francisco at Peak Design, a product-based startup that has one foot in the outdoor industry and the other in the photography accessory space. Annie is also married with a baby daughter named Amelia, or Millie. She's as passionate about the environment as she is about spending time in the backcountry, as she is about being a mother. In many ways, Annie's story isn't out of the ordinary, which makes it that much easier to draw lessons from. After years of feeling like the grass was greener everywhere but where she was, Annie let go of her expectations and, in doing so, found the closest thing possible to the life work she was searching for. And while she loves her career, she has few illusions about being able to quote-unquote have it all. There's a lot of priorities to shuffle in her life right now. For Annie, the key is knowing when to hold on and when to let go. Annie's story starts in Ojai, California. There, she was fortunate to have the outdoors come second nature.
Full disclosure, I was born in Ojai, but then when I was very young, moved to Ventura, and then moved back to Ojai, I think when I was, I don't know, a freshman in high school or something like that. So, you know, in Ojai, we had my parents lived in a very, very small shack-like house, but had horses and spent a lot of time outdoors. But then we moved down to Ventura because my dad worked there and wanted to be closer to work. And I think maybe the schools were a little bit better or something. I'm not sure. But it was great also because it's a beach town. And so we spent a ton of time at the beach, the river, and we would definitely take trips up to Ojai and spend time outside in Ojai as well. Ventura, it was serendipitous because that's how I fell into getting my first job at what was then the Patagonia outlet, which was right next to Great Pacific Ironworks. And so obviously there's a great outdoor culture associated with being there and working there. Growing up, my dad would take me out to try to teach me how to surf on his big longboards, which it was always a failure. But then when I started working basically it was my first job, so it was as young as you can possibly be when you can start working. But it was great because Big Wave Dave at the Patagonia outlet would take me out surfing and finally taught me how to get up and do that.
Come high school, Annie returned to Ojai to go to a boarding school called Thatcher. It's a unique school and a learning experience that she's really grateful for.
And Thatcher is just an insanely special place, and I think has had the biggest impact on my life. It's largely oriented towards outdoor and outdoor education. And a huge part of the curriculum are what they call extra day trips, where the entire student body breaks up into small groups and goes and spends a week in the backcountry, either backpacking or climbing or kayaking. And so it's really amazing to see kids coming in from really all over the world with very different backgrounds. Girls come in with their makeup and their sassy clothes and everything, and then you back into the backcountry, and it has just a really transformative impact on all the kids. And so I think that's when I really, really fell in love with the outdoors, and that's when I began rock climbing, and just a huge impact on my life.
Sounds really amazing. It sounds like the outdoors were really woven into your childhood and young adulthood in that way.
Definitely. You know, my folks, we'd go car camping, and my parents were, I think, total badasses back in the day and in terms of what they did in the outdoors. But we never did that. We did car camping and stuff like that growing up, and beach and surfing. But I didn't really get into backcountry stuff until high school. And that, I just think, is so magical. I love the backcountry.
So you've carried that with you into adulthood?
Absolutely. Continued backcountry trips through college and after college, and definitely craving to get out there again. It's been a while, obviously, since I had my baby. I haven't been able to get out there, but I actually just planned my first trip. I'm going to be going with my sister in a couple months back out to Desolation Wilderness for a few days. So really looking forward to that.
Let's pretend that Annie hadn't had her daughter Amelia quite yet. Annie went to Stanford University for undergrad and spent her years after graduation finding her place in the world, balancing the pull to explore and the story she'd written for herself in her head.
Well, right after school, I actually worked on Fallen Leaf Lake near Tahoe for about 6 months, which was just tremendous. I spent every night outside, which was just incredible, and then moved immediately to the middle of Manhattan, which was a very shocking, abrupt change. I had never really spent much time in a big city, or hardly any time in a big city. And when I first got there, I was unemployed for a few months, which was incredibly stressful because I was burning through all my savings. And then I fell into a job doing event design. So basically throwing really expensive parties for rich people. And it was just really stressful. And at the end of every day, I just looked back and said, wow, I just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to throw a big party for someone. And it just didn't sit well with me. And so I moved into actually working for a nonprofit organization that did historic preservation and art advocacy in New York. But then I headed off to graduate school.
But before graduate school, Annie spent 6 months backpacking, the travel kind, in South America.
And I'm sure backpacking was a great way to reset from a year of figuring things out. Not that backpacking isn't figuring things out too.
It really was. I think one of the greatest things that I gained from backpacking that has really helped me just be at ease and present and grateful for everything is, I think prior to backpacking, I had a really strong grass is greener issue, and, you know, routine is the devil and you must stay away from that and you must constantly be moving and constantly be experiencing new things. So I went backpacking, and obviously for those, anyone who's traveled and gone backpacking, you know, it's a different bed every night, a different city every night, you know, depending on how you choose to do it. And I remember so much by the end of those 5 or 6 months craving routine more than anything else and appreciating it so much more than I had. Waking up in the same bed, having that same delicious cup of coffee, doing your morning commute, listening to your favorite music. And so it was really good because I didn't ever feel comfortable where I was or what I was doing because I always thought something was better and I had to be doing something to get there. That was kind of a big takeaway from my backpacking experience. And I think made me feel a lot more comfortable staying put for longer.
What did you choose to study in grad school?
I studied Latin American studies. I did some of that in undergrad as well. I did international relations as an undergrad, and then with a focus in Latin America, and then focused on Latin American studies in grad school. It's economics and policy and sociology. So it fit me well because, again, I think I have a tendency to want to dabble in a lot of things. At the time, I think I was always forcing what I thought I should be doing in the direction I thought I should go, as opposed to just following the things that I enjoyed doing and letting them lead the way. So still at that time, I loved it. I'm still extremely interested in Latin American studies, and Latin America is my favorite region in the world. But I was still trying to kind of just like force a path that wasn't necessarily where I should be.
Why at that time did you think it was the right path for you?
I just saw where I thought I wanted to be and where I thought I was supposed to go. You know, I think going to Thatcher and then going to Stanford, I thought, you know, I need to be an academic. I need to do something, you know, policy related or save the world or what have you. I think crafted the idea in my head. And it's not to say that I didn't absolutely love the studies that I did, but I don't think it was necessarily where I was best suited.
After school, Annie also grappled with this uncertainty, yet the experiences unknowingly propelled her forward.
I went to several different jobs after school. I worked for a nonprofit. After that, I moved to a job doing large-scale evaluations for usually federally funded programs. So prisoner reentry programs, education programs, things like that. And that was a really, really incredible job in that it gave me tools that I've been able to apply to all jobs since. I mean, it was basically a consulting job more or less, but it allowed me to learn how to like look at things, ask the right questions, figure out the answers, and create action steps for moving forward. And at the time, I didn't want to be in evaluation. I thought I'd just gone down the wrong path again. And what am I doing here? This is so not what I want to do. I don't want to be sitting here writing reports all day. And in hindsight, I look back at it and really am grateful for the experience because it gave me such great tools to apply to the job I am in today and any other situation, I feel like.
Which brings us to 3 years ago, when Annie began to let go of her career expectations, and by doing so, opened her up to new opportunities.
I started working with Peak Design almost 3 years ago. I was in these other jobs, and I just wasn't feeling totally fulfilled, and they were great organizations with great people, but it just didn't make my heart sing. And I'd come to terms with that. I think I was grateful and happy for what I had and was just realizing that not everyone is obsessed with their jobs, and that's totally okay. And I gained with it from it what I could, but I really clocked in the morning, clocked out at night, and then I started living my life from the hours between sitting at the desk. You know, in these hours between my job, I decided to start really pursuing things that I had loved and I hadn't done for a while, and photography being the main thing.
We'll talk more about this after the break. The folks at Oro Kayak believe that connecting to nature is a deep human need. I talked with Brianna Media, and she told me about one of her most memorable kayaking experiences.
We drove 68 miles down the Hole in the Rock Road. You get to the end and you're basically on a cliff overlooking Lake Powell. A lot of people will just go there and kind of check it out and then drive away. We're like, well, the only kayaks that could possibly get down this thing would be these kayaks. So let's give it a shot. So we put them on our backs. They've got a little pocket in the back. So we put like some Nalgene's of water and sunscreen and all our little stuff that we were going to need for the day. And we started hiking / falling down this gully. You can see the lake. I mean, it's beautiful. You can see the water. And it was the middle of August. It had to have been like 100 degrees. And so it took us about an hour. And we got down to the water. And both of us just fell into the water. And it was the perfect temperature. We set up the kayaks and just kind of took off. And we got out to where the lake sort of opened up a little bit. And a couple pulled up on a speedboat. This is a pretty remote corner of Lake Powell. There's no marinas around. You know, we saw, I think, two boats the whole day. And so this older couple pulls up and they came right up to us and shut their motor off and just stared at us. And they go, "Where did you come from?" So we turned around and pointed to this canyon, this gully full of these huge boulders. And we were like, oh, we hiked from up there. The nice thing is that when you put the work in places like that, you get so much to yourself.
Escape the crowds and get on the water in a beautiful, foldable Oru kayak. Learn more at www.orukayak.com. That's www.orukayak.com.
I did photography all 4 years in high school, all 4 years in college. I'd done more classes in graduate school. And so it always been a big part of my life. But again, I felt, you know, hey, if I can't be making money at this, or like I can never, who can ever make it as a photographer? But I said, you know what, I'm just going to start doing it for fun again. And so I created a website. I started shooting for friends and got a few gigs here and there. And then it just kind of started taking off and it started snowballing, and past clients started recommending other clients and other. Before I knew it, I actually had a pretty busy side gig in photography. And an acquaintance of mine had seen my work and asked if I would shoot his wedding. And he happened to work for Peak Design at the time. So he said, if you're going to shoot my wedding, you got to use my stuff. I said, all right. So I started using Peak Design stuff and thought it was awesome. And somewhat jokingly asked if they were interested in hiring anyone. And I don't think they actually had a position, a technical position, but I ended up meeting with founder Pete Daring and a few others from the team, and we just hit it off, and I somehow weaseled my way into a job at Peak Design.
What I love about this is that it's similar to the advice you sometimes hear when you're single. Focus on you and your interests, and you'll meet someone when you least expect it. In Annie's case, she met a career in an industry she cared about and made a position work for her. So did you start in your current position?
No, I actually, when I first started, the biggest gap in the team was in sales. So I took over the sales side of things for the first year that I was there. And then I went on maternity leave and they hired folks to take over that role and do a far better job than I could ever do in sales positions. When I came back, I requested to focus on our environmental sustainability and our community, the management of our photographers and our community. And Pete was awesome and said, absolutely, I think you can definitely focus on that, which was fantastic because before taking the job at Peak, I definitely was hesitant because the environment is the most important thing to me and taking care of it. And I really struggled with the idea of working for a company that makes consumer products. I almost didn't take the position because of that, because I didn't know how to come to terms with that necessarily. And so I went back and actually read Yvon Chouinard's Let My People Go Surfing and realized, you know what, I should take this job and I should do everything in my power to make this company sustainable and to set it as an example to hopefully inspire other companies to do the same. So it made me really excited to jump into the role. And even though I worked on sales initially, always in the back of my head, my goal and my aim there was to really push the environmental agenda at Peak Design. And I thought it was going to be a huge battle. I thought, you know, I was going to have to fight the company, fight the boss, keep plowing ahead. And it's been very much the opposite. The entire team and Pete Daring have been insanely supportive and just giving me green lights left and right to really push us in the right direction and make us as sustainable as we can be.
Annie has been a driving force in Peak Design, joining 1% for the Planet. So 1% of gross revenue goes to nonprofits that support environmental efforts. She also came up with the idea of Forgive a Shot, through which Peak Design connects creatives with environmental nonprofits in need of photography and video work. And for all that Annie's done, she doesn't always feel like it's enough. Her coworker, Adam Saraceno, emailed me about Annie's internal conflict about where to spend her time and energy.
So your coworker, Adam, wrote and he said, quote, "I often talk to her, Annie, about the opportunity cost of dedicating oneself to fighting for causes or having a positive environmental impact or parenthood.
Namely, these things make it hard to lead a life of outdoor adventure and dirtbaggery that I know Annie longs for. I reckon we all have that conflict from time to time. Can you speak a little bit to that, the conflict or the friction that can arise in balancing life and work and values?
This is something that is constantly bouncing around my head, and I wish I had some really wise words to share with folks about this, but I think the more I think about it, the more confused I get about it. But I think it goes back to the grass is greener issue of just not knowing how to fully actualize or how best to spend your time and do what you need and want to do. And that can be a paralyzing thing for people who overanalyze and overthink which direction that they should go because they're worried they'll make the wrong decision. It can be something that, and I think with the rise of Instagram and things like that, it can be a thing that can make you feel bad because you see other people doing things that you want to be doing, and then you feel less satisfied in what you are doing when that wouldn't necessarily be the case. You know, I definitely also struggle with seeing beautiful images like on Instagram or through other photographers saying, gosh, if I just dedicated more time to that, I could be better. I could create more. So it's definitely a constant battle in my life. And I think especially with having my daughter now, I constantly struggle with wanting a piece of my old self in terms of the carefree freedom. And I think at the last OR, I brought her when she was 3 months old, and I brought her to OR, and I thought, you know, I can have both. I can do both. I can be the super mom. I can still hang out with all my outdoor buddies and go do the outdoor things. And I just broke down crying for most of Outdoor Retailer because I realized that at least at that given moment, I couldn't. And I saw all, you know, my buddies going out and camping for the next few days, and I couldn't do that. But I really came to terms and peace with the fact that was okay, and that I'm so grateful, and the time spent with my baby is the most rewarding, wonderful thing. And I'll get back to the backcountry and doing that. I think it's hard because one thing that they don't really tell you with a kid, this might be more of a thing with women and moms, I'm not sure, or it might just be me and I'm crazy. But when I'm with her, I miss and I long and I crave for some of my old life in terms of the totally carefree, no strings attached adventure and being outdoors and being the dirt bag and being in the backcountry without anything to worry about. But when I'm out there, and if I'm any time away from my baby, all I want to do is be back with her, and I miss her so, so much. And so you're kind of constantly caught in this in limbo of wanting to go do that, but then when you're doing that, just really missing your kid and wanting to be back with your kid. I've definitely struggled with that a lot.
Have you already, or how are you planning to introduce the outdoors to your daughter?
Ooh, yeah. When I was pregnant, we ended up buying an old 87 Westie, which has been the bane of our existence. But we researched all sorts of different adventure mobiles because we knew we wanted to get her out early and not kind of stop our outdoor life. But we also have an 80-pound dog. And so we bought it and fixed it up. And when she was 3 months old, we took her on a 2-month camping road trip up to Vancouver Island, which was a pretty fun way to get her, I think, exposed to the outdoors and being outside a lot of the time. And so we still have that van and we still do that as much as we can. We're headed up to Tahoe this weekend for 3 or 4 days to do some camping out there in the van. I'd love to get her in the backcountry. That's hopefully on deck for this fall. I know there's some just badass moms out there who take their kids out for long, epic backcountry trips, and I don't know if I'm there quite yet. Hopefully this fall we'll get her out for a couple nights.
Our conversation kept taking me back to this question of how to prioritize in a modern, busy life. I wondered about what is sustainable and how to recognize what's not. Kind of feels like a boat that could capsize. If you spend too much time on one thing personally, it's going to correct itself, right? You're made to correct yourself in those situations where you feel like you're leaning on the side of feeling like you're being too big a consumer, or you feel like you're spending too much time at work, or you feel like you're spending too much time in the city?
I think those who have the opportunity to reflect and to think about these things and to really understand the balance of their life and what they need to be happy and healthy individuals will correct themselves. I think many folks don't either have the opportunity or understand how to like really look at that balance and make that happen, and they'll capsize. And capsize being that, you know, they'll have a meltdown or they'll lose their marbles for a little bit because work is driving them crazy or the kid is driving them crazy or whatever. And then they'll come to a breaking point where they'll come to the quick realization that the boat has capsized and they need to flip it up and hopefully not do that again. And yeah, so I think folks are on the spectrum in terms of being able to look at their life and weigh what brings them joy and their priorities. And there are times where you really do have to tip the boat strongly in one direction to move ahead in certain things. But then once you have moved ahead, then even it out and keep going. I think that just takes growing up and reflection in terms of how to do that in a sustainable way.
Yeah, a lot of what you said earlier about what your expectations were as a college student and a postgrad and what you think your life is going to look like versus what it actually looks like. Growing up and figuring out that, I'm the one who's not in charge. Like, there are a lot of things you can't control in life, but you can control like how you react. Just being aware of like what is in your control, what isn't, is part of growing up.
And it's a challenge for me because I love doing things the very best I can do them. And I see myself half-assing stuff. I love my work so much. I'm so dedicated to the environmental sustainability pursuit of making Peak Design sustainable, to fighting the general fight to climate change, public lands. These issues are so important to me. And yet I just don't have the time that I want to dedicate to them, not only in action, not only in like the work that I do, but also in learning about them and becoming the expert on them. You know, so many folks now turn to me to ask my opinion on an issue. And I honestly don't feel comfortable a lot of times giving that opinion simply because I haven't had the time to do the research on it and to really learn both sides and to know in and out how I feel about something. So it's frustrating because I want to be the best at that, but I also want to be a very present mom and be there for my kid. When she is in the room and she is with me, nothing else is around. Like, I'm focusing on her 100%. And I also am a huge proponent of sleep. And like, I think, you know, getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep is critical for well-being and health. And so at some point, something has to give. And it definitely drives me crazy because I think for the first time in my life, I wake up in the morning so excited to jump into work and to do as much as I can possibly do in a day. And if I didn't have a kid and a family and stuff, I would probably be working 16-hour days and be very happy about it because I love this work so much. And of course, this happens at the same time I have my baby, and the balance isn't there right now for that. So that's okay. And I every day I work at just being okay with that and being okay that tomorrow I'll try my best again. And, you know, sometime down the road, things will become easier and I'll have more time to really dedicate to that pursuit.
Thanks to Annie Nyborg for taking the time to chat with me. You can learn more about her on our episode page via she-explores.com/podcast. And you can learn more about Peak Design via www.peakdesign.com. That's peakdesign.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Oru Kayak. Music is by Lee Rosevere. Until next time.